Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Now, truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. Thank God for another Thursday night where we can get together and study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., thank God for another Thursday night where we are able to study the word of God, and thank God for his word, because through his word we find strength. And, you know, the title of the Bible study is There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And by studying the word of God, it helps us to deal with the challenges that we face today. And as we're studying the book of Acts, we see the Apostle Paul on this ship sailing to Rome, getting ready to be a shipwreck there in the middle of a storm. And what he's doing is he's rehearsing the word of God and in his mind and his actions, what God has already done to allow him to get to a point where he can trust God even in the midst of the storm and in the shipwreck. And that was one of the questions we asked on last week, was that God was more than enough. And God is still more than enough to be able to help us through the storms and shipwrecks of life by having a relationship, personal relationship with him through his word, through the power of his spirit. And so that's where we are tonight, is understanding God's still more than enough. And that if we apply ourselves to, like what we're saying in our prayer every Thursday night, 2 Timothy 2:15, that we will study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. is that we can rightly divide the word of truth and apply it to our lives, apply it to our situation, and continue to realize and appreciate that God is more than enough and able to supply everything we need during our storms and our shipwrecks. Shield G.
Amen. And you're right, though. And for us to recognize that he's more than enough, we have to develop that relationship with him. We've been studying that in Sunday school. And in fact, on our Women's Day, our theme this past week was Women on the Move for Christ. And you can't be on the move for Christ if you don't have a relationship with him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you won't recognize that he is more than enough. If anything else, if nothing else, you let what you see and the things that happen to you dictate and let the devil lie to you and make you feel like he's not enough, or that God's not there, or you're by yourself, or you have to do this on your own, and just end up getting in God's way.
Amen. And that's what we looked at this with Paul on last week. Paul said, y'all got to throw that stuff overboard. That stuff is going to impede your progress in God. It's going to impede your ability to make it safely through the storm. And sometimes, Dr. G, we get accustomed to holding on to certain things that really aren't doing us any good. And you have to trust God to know that I need to throw this stuff overboard. I need to get rid of this stuff. This stuff's not doing me any good. These folk ain't doing me no good. We got to move on. And sometimes we're not ready to move on, but in studying the Word of God, God says we need to recognize when it's time to move on. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and I'm glad you included people, because too often, you know, we want to hold on to those friends and family members who really don't mean us any good. But if you're serious about your walk with Christ, I mean, I learned a long time ago, God is going to help you cut some of them folk and things out of your life that is not going to help you grow. And that just comes a point when you just got to let go.
Amen, amen. Let's look at that in Acts 27, where they're in this storm, and they shouldn't have gone anyway, but they went against, you know, God is instruction through Paul, and they got to a point where all their hope was gone. And Paul lets them know that the angel of God stood next to them and told them that it was going to be all right, but that they had to let some things go. And you know, a lot of times people come to salvation, Sheila G, when they've let the things of the world go. And they said, look, you know, I've tried this, I've tried that, you know, let me try and trust God, because my trust in man and the trust in the things of this world has let me down. And so Paul, recognizing this, said, hey, let me get you guys together. Let's break some bread and let's get ready for the shipwreck. We're in the storm, but in the storm, we need to come together and get ready for this shipwreck on how this thing's finally going to play out. So let's go to Acts 27 and verse 33. And it says, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat for the last 14 days. He said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. And a lot of times in a storm or in a storm in your life, you lose your appetite, your schedule is off, and you're focused so heavily on the circumstance that you forget you need to live, forget you need to worry about the things you can change, and trust God to deal with the stuff that only he can deal with. And so here Paul is saying, you know, eat something, Verse 34, he says, now I urge you to take some food. He said, you need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And Paul is encouraging to do the things that are needed to survive. And one of the things that we need to do physically and spiritually is to look at our whole man, our physical man, our spiritual man, and understand that God has made provisions for all of us. And a lot of times I look at my wife as a school teacher, and the kids have to have certain food in order for them to learn and to be able to thrive in the classroom. And so they have before school breakfast program, then they have a lunch program, and then they have a program where they can get nutrition on their way home. Mm-hmm. And so with that physical nutrition in the morning, the afternoon, and or lunch, and on their way home, gives them the physical fortitude to be able to learn and to be able to make it through the day. And that is a part of our humanness, that if we don't have the proper nutrition physically, that it will hinder us as far as our full potential spiritually. And so Paul is saying, hey, you guys are going to have faith that we're going to make it. Let's sit down. Let's break bread. Let's get ready physically for the next part of our journey, which is going to be the shipwreck. We're in the storm, but in the storm, let's take care of our physical. Let's take care of our spiritual, because the shipwreck is coming. And so it's like if you will, Sheila G, an ongoing maintenance. It's not just you can't get ready for the shipwreck. You can't. Why are you in the wreck? You have to prepare for the shipwreck before the wreck. And so a part of that in our spiritual and our physical preparation is to stay physically fit, stay spiritually fit, so when the wreck happens, you can survive it. Sheila G.
Amen. And it was interesting when you were talking about how the children, in order to learn, have to have certain provisions for their body. And, you know, even in the Bible, it talks about our body is a temple of God. So God doesn't, like you said, doesn't want us just to prepare spiritually, mentally, but physically as well. And he's put our body, he created us. He created us physically so that there are certain things to keep that body going. And as you were talking about it, I was thinking about when I was pregnant with my first child, and as it was going along, and Billy was, you know, commenting and praying about how the baby developed, how he grew, how God made a provision from my body to create that child's body. Then it was like really miraculous how at a certain time, somehow the baby knows how to be turned upside down.
Exactly, exactly.
And at a certain time, the baby knows when it needs to come out. So like you said, it's that whole preparation for that birthing process, which is difficult, because then when they hook you up, that baby's under stress coming out. But God has given the provisions through the woman's body to give them so that they can physically make it through and push it out. But it is going through trauma, and you're all hooked up to all these things to get look at how God created us, and even that whole birthing process, it's the same thing for us in our spiritual lives that he gives us for our bodies to create it, as well as spiritually. He gives us the tools, but we have to grow, and we have to go. And then when it's time, he'll let us know, I'm right there with you. It's going to be a little stressful, but you're going to come out on the other side.
Amen, amen. That's a great example. And Dr. G, on last week, we were talking about Hebrews 10, chapter, verse 24 and 25, about not forsaking the assembling of the church body together. And a part of ministering is the physical church getting ready for the storm. And that's the whole thing of coming together as a body of Christ in person, is that we have the ability to develop strength, develop bonds through fellowship. And fellowship is important because the body is going to go through, the church body is going to go through some things. But if we have it prepared with fellowship through encouraging people through the word, through encouraging people through just the breaking of bread and observing of communion and Bible study and Sunday school, those are the things that physically, when you come together, strengthen you not only spiritually but physically for the storms of life that come, because all of us live in this world physically as well as spiritually. Dr. G.
And you're right. And a lot of folks don't realize it, that the importance of coming together, there's just something about when a few folk get together and they're on the same mindset to lift up the name of the Lord. And you can be going through something, but it seems to take all of that stress away if you focus on what God wants you to be focusing on that day. You know, it's something that we've witnessed that, you know, you just can't beat the assembling of yourselves together. God created that, and that's one of the reasons why he put that in the Word, because he knows that Amen. We need that, you know, we need that encouragement. We need that spiritual food to help us to get out of the funky mood we might be in.
Amen. Amen. So let's go back to Acts 27, verse 35. He said, after he had said this, after he told them that not one single head will be lost from their head, he said he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. And so this is what God showed Paul about, you know, breaking bread and about the new covenant. And we do this once a month with our communion service, where we took bread and we bless and we break it and we eat, and we do this in remembrance of God. And so this is what Paul was introducing to the people that were around him, that God was more than enough, that God will provide. And so here in verse 36, it says they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. And in verse 37, it says altogether they were 276 of us aboard. When we had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. Now, this is where you go from the physical to the spiritual, the way where we just ate this stuff. This is good for us. Why are we throwing this away? Why are we throwing this food into the sea? I was with you, Paul, until you said throw the food overboard. So Paul was assuring them that it was going to be all right. You're in the storm, but the shipwreck's coming, and this stuff is not going to help you in the shipwreck. So that's why God teaches us, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. That's Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. Because if you trust in yourself, you're like, well, hold on a second. We finally getting a chance to eat, and you talking about throwing the food away? Hold on a second. But Paul was saying, look, if God took care of you physically when you were fasting, he took care of you physically, gave you something right now, surely this same God will be able to take care of you as we get ready to have the shipwreck. And you always telling somebody the shipwreck is coming. I don't know when or where, but, you know, all of us experience shipwreck, whether it's something on your job, whether it's something with a loved one, something in the world, you know, the storm is going to lead to some shipwreck. And a lot of times you are preparing while you're in the midst of the storm to deal with the results, the end results of the storm or shipwreck. But Paul is telling them, hey, it's going to be all right. let's throw this grain into the sea. And that's got to be a shock to people's system when they're saying, do what now? get rid of this, get rid of that, do that. Trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him and he will direct my path. This is what this comes down to. And so, yes, this is what it came down to in this situation with Paul and these 276 people of war, is that in order for them to safely get through the storm, in order for them to safely get through the shipwreck, they were going to have to trust God and realize that God is more than enough. And later on in this chapter, we'll see that some of them came a certain way. Some, I think, was on broken pieces, boards, and some of them swam, but all of them got to safety, which is to say that people trust God at different periods of time. People have different levels of faith. But if you trust God, whatever way you're trusting God, you'll be able to get to safety. Some of them swam, some of them came on boards, and some of them got to safety on broken pieces. And some folk is going to be a little bit easier than others, but because God said that if you trust in him, you'll be saved no matter if you come swimming, no matter if you come on boards, no matter if you come on broken pieces. You shall be saved. But the thing is to throw the things of the world aside and trust in God, and God will bring you through. Sheila G.
Amen. The last statement that you made was the most important, throwing things of this world aside and trusting God. And as you're talking about that, as far as them throwing the rest of the food and the wheat into the sea, that was them having to lose control, let go of control. And that's what the problem that we have in this world today, across the world, where you're looking at religious leaders, or you're looking at the politicians, or where you're looking at the corporate leaders. You got this whole thing, battle between Twitter and the head of Facebook now. Mm-hmm. It's everybody who has control. And if we continue want to have control and do the things of this world, that's how we end up blocking our blessings. Because if they still said, okay, yeah, Lord, I'm going to trust you, but, and what we say about when you put but everything before, doesn't matter.
I'm
going to keep some of this wheat, some of this food here just in case. You don't come through. No, God's like, I want you to let control. I want you to put your whole life 100% control in my hands and walk by faith. But that's hard for people to do. It is like when you look at the power, you mean you want me to let go of power? You want me to not be in charge? You don't want me not to be the big boss, the big cheese, this, that, and the other, control my children, control what's it? No, let it go. And not realizing, trying to hold on to that control for what? Because it's false control. You're really not in control. When we look at these politicians that thought, and these lawyers thought so much they had, like January 6th or whatever, under control. And what happens?
Mm-hmm.
2-3 years later, the stuff is hitting the fan. So did you really have control? No. And that's the same thing with the religious leaders. They want to go through all of this and do Supreme Court, this, that, and the other, getting legalism mixed up with spiritual. And what happens? Again, everything's starting to hit the fan and everything's going crazy in this world. Look at the weather. Look at the climate. You know, no one wants to acknowledge it because we want to control. But to your point, we have to let the things of this world go. We got to take all that stuff that we see, dump it in the sea, stand before the Lord and say, I don't know what's going to happen for tomorrow. I want to make a logical of it. I want to step in. I want to fix it. But you know what, Lord? I got to move me out of the way, because even when I think I'm in control, I may be in control for that minute, but I'm not, because I don't know the road that's ahead of me.
Amen. And when you look at this, this was this was at the night where they're doing it. And a lot of times we're talking about weeping may endure for a night. So in the midst of this storm, Dr. G, they get prepared for the day. And we like to say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But are we ready for that type of joy that God, oh my God, are we ready for that type of joy that God is going to deliver to us? Because sometimes we want joy on our own terms, Dr. G. And so when we look at verse 39, Acts 27, verse 39, God's bringing us some joy. He's going to get them saved, but it's going to be difficult. And so when you look at verse 39, it says, when daylight came, in other words, the morning comes, the challenges of the shipwreck is here. So we went through the storm, and now we're ready for the shipwreck. In the King James, it says, when it was day. So here's the day. And we made it through the night. We made it through the storm through the night. But now here's the day. And so God prepared us for the day overnight. And in other words, he prepared us for the shipwreck of the day through the storm of the night. So you had that storm at night. And a lot of times it says the weeping may endure for a night. You weep and you cry and you make it through that nighttime. But now God is bringing the day light, and daylight comes sometimes with a shipwreck. So if you go back to the NIV in verse 39, it says, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. And so God reveals to them in the day that this is going to be your way of salvation. This is your way of being delivered from the perils of the storm, and it may not look pretty, but it's what's going to deliver you. And so I relate that to Christ. Christ didn't come as the king riding on the white horse. He came as the king making the sacrifice, riding on the donkey. And people say, well, that's not our salvation. How is our king going to come and deliver us from this, coming in as a ordinary man on a donkey and talking about he's the savior, he's the messiah? See, people want their salvation, Dr. G, on their terms. They wanted to come through the storm and the storm just clear up and then just get out and walk and say, hey, we're saved. But God said, no, it's going to be difficult. When Jesus came, Jesus had to hang. He had to bleed. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to take the beating. He had to take the shame of this world without sin in order to deliver us from the power and the penalty of sin, to deliver salvation. And so the contrast here is that what we want isn't always how we want it. But the end product is that Jesus came, he suffered, he hung, he bled, he died, he rose on the third day with all power. But there was darkness in that process of getting to salvation. There's darkness in this process from getting Paul and these 276 men from this storm through the shipwreck to Rome. But through that process, they're going to be saved. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I was just sitting and thinking about the fact that God says, my ways are not like your ways. And mm-hmm. when you look at that story, the fact that God allowed them not to go shipwrecked until daylight, that ship could have wrecked at night, and they mm-hmm. wouldn't have been able to see where they were going or, you know, land of any sort. But God allowed them daylight for the ship to be wrecked. And you're right. You know, in our own lives, you know, we would prefer to have salvation on our terms. You know, if mm-hmm. the majority of the people, if we were all honest, we would prefer not to have any problems or storms in our life, but it just doesn't work like that. And then a lot of people, they try to bargain with the Lord. You know, well, Lord,
uh-oh,
if you help me today, I'll make sure I go to church on Sunday.
Ooh, ouch.
But too often, ouch, you know, we want God, we want our stuff on our terms. But again, the Lord says my ways are not like your ways. And we ought to really be grateful, because if the Lord gave us everything that we wanted on our terms, we really would be no good at serving the Lord. It would be about what I did, me, mine, mine.
That's so true. We don't appreciate it if it comes on our terms, and so experiencing salvation on God terms allows us to know that it was not us or is not us, but it is actually God. And that, again, like you said, Dr. G, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And to see them come through and be saved in this manner, and to see God use the foolishness of preaching to present the gospel so folk can be saved, and the dying in order to live through Christ's death, we receive life. That's not something that we would imagine or want salvation terms on, but you have to come through these terms when you trust in God, and God does these things so that we can know that it is God and nobody but God. And so when we look at verse 39 again, it says, we decided to run the ship aground if they could. And verse 40 said, cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea. Again, Chilla G, they had to leave that man's thinking of safety. And it says, and at the same time, united the ropes that held the rudders. In other words, they're holding this thing together. It says, then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. In other words, here we go. it reminds me, Sheila G, it's like if you ever been on one of these big roller coasters, and the old ones where you're going up the hill, it's like tick, 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 tick. It's like on the chain going up, tick, tick, tick. And then right at the end, that chain is holding you, you stop hearing the tick. It's like, and then you're going and you're free falling. It's like everything that you thought was safety in order to get that thrill that you wanted is gone. And it's like you're at the mercy of gravity and whoever put this thing together to take you down safely and give you the thrill ride of your life. But here they're letting the anchors go. The ropes are barely holding together, and they put the sail up, and okay, here we go. and they're totally stretched out on God. And sometimes we say, God, we don't make no sense, but God, I got to trust you because you're the only thing I got. Sheila G.
Amen. And as we talked about it, it made me think about when we all went back to church after the pandemic, where that was really a step of faith of going out after being locked in for 3 years. This deadly disease that no one could explain, and we stuck through the storm, like you said, of not being able to fellowship and assemble ourselves together. So we went through that storm. Then God showed us the daylight, like Pastor G was just saying about, as far as you know, okay, I'm giving you the light. Y'all go back to church now. But he didn't make it a perfect thing. You know?
Exactly.
You're going to have to go back. But you're going to have to go back on faith, because I didn't completely make it a perfect opportunity for you to go back. But those that are faithful will go back. Like you said, use the mask. Like you said, cut the anchor. Use the spray. You know, untie the rope. And then just run unto the Lord. And those that are faithful, those that are with me, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle putting things back together. You're going to struggle having to clean up the church. You're going to struggle about encouraging one. one another, getting back, getting out of the habit, because it would have been easy the first time something funky happened to go back to doing it online, because you've been doing it for 2 years. But it was like,
right,
nope,
right.
One, two, three of us, we still going to push through. So that is the same analogy of, yes, he brought us through that storm. Yes, we got the light, but it wasn't an easy light. We still had to push through.
Amen. You gotta push through, and so in verse 41, now this is where Paul earlier he said that you're not gonna lose any hair on your head, but he said, but the ship not gonna make it. So some things, Dr. G, is not gonna make it. It's gonna be the faithful few. It's gonna be the one that trust God is gonna make it. And he said, but the ship struck the sandbar in verse 41 and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was what? Broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. And so some things, some traditions, some things that we're holding on to, some things that we've relied on as the foundation, or the this is what we need to move forward. God had to show them and show us, yeah, you didn't really need that to move forward. and some things, you really didn't need that to move forward. I'm meddling now, Dr. G. You've got to realize that God is going to show his church, he's going to show his people that what we need to move forward is him. Help me out, Dr. G. I'm meddling.
Well, that's all right, but it's the truth. And that leads me back to thinking about this year, getting ready to celebrate 60 years for the church, 28 for me. But the Lord told me it was okay. I could break them up. The focus needed to be on the church this year. And although it was going to be 60 years, we didn't need to have no great big banquet, but we could tone it down a bit. But in all that, everything that we've done, we've continued to surf and we've continued to preach. We've continued to have Sunday school, but we've changed up a bit. And for the anniversary, still went on with it, but just toned it down a bit. And God bless this year's anniversary. In fact, that was one of the better ones we've had since we've been at the church.
Yep.
So sometimes God has to allow things to go forward, and it's kind of like an eye-opener for a lot of people. You can't go back to what you used to have. So you begin to think, you begin to pray, let the Lord show you how he want to do it now.
Amen, amen. And that had to be an eye-opener for them, Sheila J. They trusting in the ship, you know. But the ship gone now. Ship broke up. and now what you going to do? Like Dr. G said, you got to stretch out on God. And then in the midst of that, realizing that folk won't see you do bad, don't want to see you move forward.
Right.
But if you look at verse 42, God has his hand on his people. And so the soldiers that were with them planned to kill the prisoner. Said, Lord, have mercy. Not only were we in the storm, not only are we shipwrecked, but we got folk that want to kill us. It's like the devil's like a roaring lion going to and fro to Orph, seeing who he may devour. So you got the storms, you've got the shipwreck, you've got the enemy that's trying to keep you from being saved. And and this is the challenge of the church to continue to preach and teach the gospel, because it is the power of God. That's what Paul said. It is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. In other words, he said there's nothing but the the gospel. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, it is the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. And so the challenge of the church is that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the shipwreck, in the midst of the enemy trying to kill you, is to continue to preach and teach the gospel, because that is the power of salvation, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of the storm, preach Jesus. In the midst of the shipwreck, preach Jesus. In the midst of the enemy trying to take you out, preach Jesus, because this is the power of God into salvation. And when we understand that, and when we trust God and we go forward at it, and we realize that this is the salvation that only God can give, and it's more than enough than any situation or circumstance that arises or comes our way, that we can make it. And when people, when that sinks in, when that thing hit Paul like that, he was like, oh my gosh, I thought it was the law. I thought it was keeping the law. But no, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. And when that thing hit him, Paul's whole life turned around. He said, I'm ready to go now. Wherever you want to send me, God, I'm going. I'm ready, whether it's a storm, whether it's a shipwreck, or whether it's an enemy. And God will be with you. So if you look at verse 42, it says the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. And so the enemy is like the gates of hell in this situation. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, there's nothing that's impossible with God, and there's nothing that can prevent God's plan from happening. And so even though they wanted to kill him, this is the word where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Here are they forming the weapons. They're ready to use the weapons, but God has the ability to be able to give you favor in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the shipwreck, in the midst of the enemy. God showed them favors. The lead centurion that Paul had developed a relationship in the beginning was able to quell this and allow them to continue on toward shore. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what we talk about, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because that's what keeps you from panicking when the enemy, or when things go wrong, or things come up against you. Or, you know, we recently had a situation where with the addition being put on our house, and when the subcontractor came in, it just was something just wasn't right. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I just kept saying to my husband, you know what, Lord's going to work it out. Lord's going to work it out. And lo and behold, they came out. The company came out. They saw it. They were like, oh, no, we can't do this. They came in and they fixed it and made it right. Same thing with the church. You know, people mm-hmm. would have looked at with that anniversary, God took it over. We're like, okay, you know what, God? We're going to do whatever. You're going to make it. And Lord made it work out, so we were able to have a good anniversary. Same thing with Women's Day. You know, it's like, okay, there's a few of us. There's things going on. We called Reverend Abram. What day you got for July? We're still going to do it anyway. And what happened?
All right.
And we had a high time in the Lord this past Sunday talking about women on the move for Christ. If you stay focused, if you trust in the Lord, he really does make the impossible possible.
Amen. Amen. And when you see all of these challenges with the ultimate goal that God wants Paul to preach in Rome, and Dr. G, your road to where you are now, of preaching this gospel, all of the roadblocks that and the challenges that came to get to this place, it's sort of like this, the storm, the shipwreck, the enemy. But ultimately, God's will is going to be done. And you and everyone else who's been called by God is going to carry out what God has for them to carry out, whether it's ministry, whether it's through life, or whether whichever you look at it. But you look at these stories and you're like, wow, this is all so they can go and preach the gospel and Rome, man, this is like, it's like a life journey of trying to get to the end goal that God has for you. And it's not easy. It's ups and downs and twists and turns and struggles and crying and anger and frustration and recovery and restoration and people going and leaving and coming and all of this, just to let us know that God is saying, you're going to get to Rome, but it's not going to be an easy journey. And so in verse 43, and we're going to be wrapping this up here shortly, but in verse 43, it says, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim jump overboard first and to get the life. The rest were to get there on plank or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. And so the end result was for those folks to have a safe journey. The end result is for folks to be saved. And so the shipwreck, the enemy, all of these things are trying to prevent people from getting to the ark of safety or to safety or salvation. And God lets us know that it's not always going to be easy, because some are going to go swimming, some are going to come on boards, and some are going to come on pieces. And I like the way the King James says it in verse 44. It says, and the rest, he says, some are, I'm going to read it, verse 43. He said, but the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could, swim or cast themselves first into the sea and to get to land. And then the second group, it says, the rest of them on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass they escaped all safe to land. And so that's just the whole plan of gospel, that folks are going to come different kinds of ways. Everybody's not going to come a traditional way. Some are going to come swimming, some are going to come on board, and some are going to come on broken pieces. But because of God, he's going to allow them all to escape and come safe to land. And that's what we have to understand, this process that we're going through, this life that we're going through is always going to have storms, always going to have shipwrecks. But God is always going to make a way that his will would be done. Some going to come swimming, which some going to get saved, and it's not going to be a struggle. Some going to come on broken pieces, and some going to come on board. It's going to be a little more difficult for others. It might be on the deathbed confession. But if it's according to the will of God, the shipwreck, the storms, and the enemy is not going to prevent those that God has preordained should be saved. Tell me about Dr. G.
Well, you know, while you were talking, because a few weeks ago, I went over to New Hope. They had asked me to give Bishop White a tribute on behalf of all of the sons and daughters. And so I went over there, and while I was preparing to go over there, the Lord revealed to me, took me back to where I first started, which was at First Rock as a young teenager, licensed there, went with White to Sea Pleasant where I was ordained, then went with White till I left there to come to New Birth. And he revealed that all that I had, that journey, all that time, everything that I went through was to get me where I am now. Then after I got here, all the storms, the headaches, the people, all of that was to prepare me for where I am right now. And so you're right. God will provide. He will allow us to go through and do what needs to be done. And it may be a certain group here he'll take when you first start out.
Yeah.
But then another group later on. So by the time you get to the end, the first group you know nothing about. But that's just the way God is. And we who are called to minister have to learn how to say, yes, Lord, thy will be done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. And I thank God for this chapter, chapter 27, that lets us know that his will is going to be done. If some going to come swimming, some going to come on board, and some going to come on broken pieces, but it's according to the will of God. And so the key is to trust God and continue to have faith in him, continue to teach that gospel, because that's the power of salvation. But to know everybody's not going to be saved in the same manner that some folk get saved. Everybody's got a different journey that they're going to travel. But if God has ordained for them to be saved, they're going to make it. And we can rest assured that God's going to do what is necessary, whether it's through the storm, whether it's through the shipwreck, whether it's through the enemy, that his will is going to be done. And so that winds us up with chapter 27. It's hard to believe, Sheila G, that we're actually getting to the last chapter of the book of Acts. But I just want to know what those who have studied with us in the book of Acts, as we already go to the last chapter, what stands out to you in this book that we've studied for all these years? As far as the book of Acts, maybe just like one thing that has stuck out for you. So we're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 4470, 4470. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. There were several things that stood out. One was the early church, how God worked with the early church, and how the early church grew, and how they had such a unity and love and fellowship sharing, and how God just adds so many souls to the church daily, and it was all one accord. And then the other thing is where we got to, like I said, several, the Holy Spirit, that was just beautiful, Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And God allowed his spirit to come forth and to minister the promise that he had made through Jesus. And we received the Holy Spirit, and we just thank God for the Holy Spirit that is allowing us to minister today and to do God's will. And then this last part here where Paul, God had promised Paul that he would go to Rome. And so that's where our ministry is. What God has started in us, he's going to complete it. And along this journey, we're going to have many trials and tribulations. And we're going to be in various conditions. Sometime we're going to have smooth sailing. Sometime it's going to be rough. Sometime we might think we might not make it at all. But in the end, God is going to get the glory. He's going to accomplish that, what he has planned to do in us. So I have enjoyed the book of Acts. It's just been really good, a good study. It has helped me to grow a lot. And thank you all so much.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes. The book of Acts is just a powerful book. I wasn't here through all of it, but all the times that I was here, what I got out of it was just it's telling you about the devil. It's showing you what God would do, that God is the best, God is going to keep you. All you got to do is trust and believe in him. And that's what it's all talking about, all the chapters. And this last chapter, 27, was the most powerful one that I have to can remember. But that shipwreck is what... That shipwreck was what God told them. He told them, and they were still thinking, well, no, we ain't going to throw this away. No, we can't throw this away.
Right.
Sit down at this last minute after all he done showed them, acting like they didn't trust him. Oh, wow. That was real powerful. But he always do, he showed them in the end.
Mm-hmm.
He showed them. He said, some of y'all going to be on pieces and
boards, pieces and swimming,
but you're gonna be saved, you know. It's just so powerful. The Lord is just so powerful. All these books are powerful, but we got one more chapter in Acts, and I'm just happy that I could be a part of it the time that I was, because I do believe and trust in the Lord, and he's been more than enough for me in my life. He can't nobody tell me nothing, because he done showed me. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be able to get on the phone on Thursday night. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Our last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I missed the question. I'm on a shipwreck. Before I get started, I'm drowning. I'm drowning. I wish I could explain it to you and tell you. And I'm on a wreck right now. I just have to wait till the Lord just pull me out of the water, or what we gonna do? Well, what he gonna do with me? Because I'm at a wait. I'm just at my net. Whatever they were trying to escape to the water, whatever board. I'm on the water. I'm going to be trying to swim to the end. If I can make it, if I can't make it, up with the Lord. If I do make it, that'll be fine. I'll be on the land waiting for him when he show up and let me know that I made it. But until then, I'm on a wreck right now. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
Yeah, it's definitely powerful stuff. I mean, it's always good, and I've always been a strong advocate of learning your history, and this kind of goes back to the early Christian church. I think one of the callers had stated it, and it's important because it seems like the Bible, or it is true, you know, that the Bible is timeless. That some of the same great things that happened and people experienced way back then, we experience now in the Christian church. A lot of the adversity that they dealt with thousands of years ago, we still deal with in today's time. So it's always interesting to learn the history, to learn why things are done a certain way. But most importantly, you know, we have to apply that. You know, I think sometimes we only look at it as history, and we don't realize that a lot of that, if not almost all of it, you can take and apply to today's church. And I think more churches will find success in not only bringing people in the doors, but keeping them if they literally went back and studied and got this deep into the word and understand that there's purpose in every text, every scripture, the way it's written. It's purposeful, but ultimately it's for the overall success of the church. And I think the modern churches have gotten away from what we're doing now, studying the word, making sense of the word, and applying it. Because, again, we saw, as Sister Gregory and I have talked about, a lot of churches were just a pandemic away from not opening their doors anymore and have forever changed. And if you don't have that foundation, i.e. going back to the beginning, going back to the basics, getting back to the base, you've got to reinvent the wheel. The formula
That's right.
But we have to seek it out and we have to go through it. So it's always good to learn a great history lesson because it helps put things in perspective. And then you have those aha moments like, oh, that's what that means, or that's why we do this, or that's why it's okay to struggle when you're going through things and have adversity, but you still got to find a way to push through. So it's like what I'm dealing with now, they dealt with that thousands of years ago. And sometimes we think like, oh, we would have had it easy if we lived back then, or if they'd have lived up here, you know, whatever. But it's like, we're all still part of that Christian church. But just to know that my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ thousands and thousands of years ago thought how I thought, had their down moments, but also had moments where they could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, hey, look, God, Jesus is not here anymore. We still have to pick up that cross and continue the mission and continue to stand on what's right and stand on faith. So very powerful stuff, but it's definitely changed my mindset, and it's also given me a playbook for how I want to kind of progress in my Christian walk to continue to grow in the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Sheila G. We're going to go to chapter 28, and we talk about Paul getting to Rome. So the next book, as the Lord leads, we're going to study the book of Romans, trusting God that he'll bless us to be able to study that book and be able to receive blessing from it. So that'll be the next book that we're studying. And as we get through chapter 28, we can start prepping for that as Paul is making his way to Rome to preach the gospel at Rome. So if you have some final comments and closes out in prayer, please.
Amen, amen. My final comments is that if we trust in the Lord, allow him to lead and guide and direct our paths, he will give us peace in the midst of all storms. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another Bible study lesson. Lord, we thank you for how you've taken us through Acts so that we can learn about the first century church from the day of Pentecostal all the way through the time of Paul leading through the shipwreck, through the storms, and we can just take those things and apply it to our lives, Lord. We just thank you for teaching us that if we just depend and lean on you, you know the path that we need to go, and we have to let go of control and trust in you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.